We want to pray things into existence. Not just pray about things, but pray things into existence, to bring things about through prayer. And the Bible says, and we don't have because we don't ask. So there is a sense to where our asking or our receiving is directly related to our asking. And sometimes we don't have even though we ask because we ask with wrong motives. But we want to be a church that doesn't just pray about things. We want to actually bring things about through prayer. But that is an intensive type of prayer that actually moves heaven, that actually moves God to send his angels, to release his blessings on us. But that's the kind of church we want to be. So last week we talked about, and you'll see in your notes and the first service, I have to apologize for those who were there. We went so quickly through all of the blanks and the information in the notes that it was hard for them to keep up. I'm going to do my best to give you time to write everything down. But we want to be a church that we pray. The fifth point last week is the one we want to really dig into today. We want to pray in the Spirit to hear and obey God. We want to pray in the Spirit to hear and obey God. So let's talk a little bit about what the Spirit is. The Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is, right? Who is the Holy Spirit? Because if we're going to pray in the Spirit, we need to understand then who he is and what that means. And I will briefly touch on that. And I look forward to the opportunity to really get into the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But first, who is the Holy Spirit? He is God. He is God. He is divine. He's not just a force or a spirit. He's not an angel. He is divine. He is what we call the third person of the Trinity. So let me just unpack that for a moment, because when we get into the word Trinity, we start to say, wait a minute, that's just too much for me to understand. Three in one, I understand God, but then Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit. And who do I pray to? Do I pray to Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit? I mean, we've all had those moments when we're like, I don't know if I'm doing this right. And when we hear some of the criticisms about the Trinity, some of them are, well, the word Trinity doesn't appear in the Bible. But the Bible isn't a dictionary. It doesn't contain every word in the English language. Like, I'm not sure if the term black hole is in the Bible, but we believe, right, in black holes in space. I don't know if the word tsunami is in the Bible. Are we going to say that tsunamis don't exist because it's not the word itself isn't in the Bible? A flood is, but not exactly. You know what I'm saying? There are words that we use to describe things, theological terms. For example, eschatology. That word doesn't appear in the Bible, but it's the word we use to describe the teachings of the last days. Well, Trinity itself is a word we use to describe the idea, the concept that God is three in one. And I'll get into more detail later on how that works. But there are different examples of the Trinity. For example, the triangle, right? We use a triangle to describe the Trinity. That, you know, three lines together form a triangle. You take one out, you don't have a triangle anymore. Or water. Water can be a solid. If it's frozen, it can be a liquid. Or it can be a gas. It can take three different forms. That's actually not a good example of the Trinity, because that's one thing that takes on three forms. We don't believe God is one being who takes on three forms. We believe he is three in one. And that's where we're like, all right, I just don't get it. And that's another criticism people make. Well, if I can't understand God, right, God wouldn't make himself too complicated. Well, God is the eternal. He's always existed. And we have to understand he is infinite, which means no limits. There's nothing that he does not know. He is all-knowing, all-powerful. And his ways are higher than our ways. So think about the audacity to say that we should be able to wrap our minds around who God is and understand him. If that were true, then we ourselves would be as infinite or great as God is. Or he's as small and limited as we are. And we know we're not as big as God is, because we know that we don't know. And do you really want a God that you can understand? In those moments that I just don't understand life, it gives me assurance to understand. I don't get this, God, but I know that you are all-knowing, and I can trust and rely on you because you are bigger than my circumstances. But when the Bible does give us an example, and again, it gives us a lot of teaching on how we know the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Bible does teach it. But for today, I just want to give you what I believe the Bible reveals is the best example. And it's not water and it's not the triangle. The best example of the Trinity is you. Because look at what it says in 1 Thessalonians. It says this. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? The Bible affirms that we ourselves are three in one. We walk around always believing that we have, yeah, I have a body, I have a soul, and a spirit. We all kind of accept that as part of being human. But yet sometimes, for some reason, we don't make the connection that means we ourselves are three in one. My body is not the same as my soul or my spirit, and my soul is not the same as my spirit. And I don't even understand how that works. I can't understand myself. And yet I'm supposed to comprehend how God is three in one. But why are we three in one? Let's go all the way back to Genesis. In the beginning, God said, let us make man in our image. In the image of God, he created us. So in other words, if you were in the South, I'd say, you favor your daddy. Oh, that's how in the South, where my aunt and uncles are from in North Carolina, you know, he favors. My dad's first name was Elbert. Oh, yeah, he favors Elbert. Yeah, what are they saying? I resemble my dad. I look like my dad. Well, you resemble your dad. He is three in one, and so are you. So that should give us assurance, right, and understanding. Now, let's go on more, just understanding a little bit of who the Holy Spirit is so we can understand what it means to pray in the Spirit and why he is essential to prayer. The Holy Spirit gives us new life. The Holy Spirit gives us new life. John 3, verse 3. Now, in John chapter 3 is where we see the verse 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But in the verses before that, in chapter 3, verses 3 through 6, you have this man named Nicodemus who comes to Jesus and says, having a conversation, and Jesus says to Nicodemus, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Right? So we didn't come up with that term, are you born again? Jesus did. And he said, you can't get into heaven unless you are born again. Nicodemus in verse 4 says, hey, wait a minute, I'm an old man. How am I going to go back into my mother's womb and be born again, right? Thinking humanly. And Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you. And whenever it says that, very truly, again, Jesus is emphasizing, this is it. There's no other way. This is truth. Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. Now, when we talk about water, we're not talking about baptism. A lot of times we think, oh, but Jesus is saying you got to be baptized. No, because not everybody is baptized, but everybody is born of water. We must be born of water. Now, when a woman goes into labor, or what are one of the signs that a pregnant woman is about to give birth? They say her water broke, right? And that's a sign labor is coming, birth is coming. Why? Because we are all in our mother's wombs in a sack of amniotic fluid or water. So we are all must be born of water, which means a natural birth from our mother's womb. But to be in heaven, we must also then at some point in our lives be born again of the Spirit. Because flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. So the Spirit is when you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you trusted and you repented of your sins, he gave you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit did the work of what we call theologically regeneration, which just means you were born again. He put life into your spirit, kind of like when he looked and leaned into Adam in Genesis and did this, and breathed into him the breath of life, pneuma, the same word for the Spirit of God. So he gives us life. He's essential. And that's another reason we know he's God. Only God can save. Only God can give life. And the Holy Spirit is attributed here, something that only God is able to do. The Holy Spirit guides us and convicts us of and convinces us of sin. And so let's look at what he says. Let me give you a second to write that down. The Holy Spirit guides, convicts, and convinces us of truth. He guides us, convicts us, and convinces us of truth. So let's look at what he says in John chapter 16. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. That's why it's so important that we pray in the Spirit, which means understanding we're being guided even in our conversation with God through the Spirit of God, because he's the one that was sent to guide us into all truth. And he says in John 16, I see, he will prove, when he comes, he will prove or convince or convict the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. So he comes to guide and convinces us and guides us into truth according to the Word of God. And he gives us spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans chapter 12, the Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts. And we're not going to go into what those are. I just wanted to make sure that I mentioned the Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts and spiritual abilities. Now, sometimes we might say, well, what's the difference between a spiritual gift and a natural ability? Some people separate the two of them. But what do we have, even from birth, that wasn't given to us by God? Right? If I'm born and I happen to be 6'8" and can play in the NBA and be naturally athletic from birth, or if I'm born and I just have a, you know, from the age of two, my oldest son, from 2 years old, he was already reading, could tell every letter in the alphabet, right? He just had that. But even that ability was given to him by God. Everything is a gift from God. Now, when we come to Christ, the athlete now is endowed and empowered by the Holy Spirit, and that same naturally God-given ability is sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm getting on to another teaching. So, the Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts, and then the Holy Spirit empowers us for holy living and effective ministry. This comes right out of Christian Missionary Alliance statement of faith. When we receive the Holy Spirit, he empowers us. Acts says this: you will receive what when you receive the Holy Spirit? Power. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a baptism of power. Power to live a holy life and effective ministry. Right? The struggles that we're going through, the ability to go through them, the ability to get up here and to speak, even understanding my own weaknesses, the ability to make it through a day and honor God. The only way I can live a holy life free of sin is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Trust me, I've tried and I fail to live a holy life every single time when I'm trying in my own strength. Right? He empowers me to say no when I should say no, to say yes when I should say yes, to go when I should go, and to stay when I should stay. It's the Holy Spirit, but also not only for holy living, but effective ministry. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't just want us to avoid sin. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to be used by God, and it's the Holy Spirit. If we want to see God do something in the city and something in the world, the only way we're going to see something that is eternally lasting is through the presence and the person of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that gives us power to be able to have effective ministry, so that God doesn't look upon Syracuse Alliance Church and say, I know your deeds, right? You have a reputation for being alive, but in fact, you are dead. He won't say that if it's the Holy Spirit empowering us to do the things that we are doing. And the Holy Spirit speaks. These last two are the ones I really want to focus on today. The Holy Spirit speaks. This is crucial to praying in the Spirit. It says in Mark chapter 13, verse 11, whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. So he's letting the disciples know the Holy Spirit will speak to you. And sometimes you won't even know it's the Holy Spirit, right? You just say what comes in that moment. You open your mouth, the Holy Spirit will give you words to say. And if you've, maybe you've had that moment, like you're talking to someone and you're thinking, because I've had a lot of these moments, right, where sometimes I'm talking to someone one-on-one and I'm like, Lord, I don't know what to say. And then something comes out of my mouth and I'm like, wow, that was good. Where did that come from? Like, I know that wasn't my intelligence. That wasn't my education. God just gave me something, and after the words came out of my mouth, I was like, that was God. That was totally God. And sometimes I'm in the middle of preaching, and I've prepared my sermon, and at that moment, something I never prepared or planned to say, I say, and I'm like, there's almost a pause in the middle of the sermon where in my head I'm saying, wow, that was God, that was you. So sometimes we don't even know that it's the Holy Spirit, but he speaks. And then there are other examples. I'm only going to look at one more, but there are others in your notes. Acts 13, verse 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Right? So he said, and there's so many more where it says the Holy Spirit said. Now, the interesting thing is, that it doesn't explain to us how they knew. Like Paul says a little bit later, that he wanted to go on the second missionary journey, he wanted to go into the province of Asia Minor. But he says, but we were kept by the Holy Spirit from going. And then I wanted to go up into Bithynia in the north, but the Holy Spirit did not allow us. That's all he says. Now we would want to know, well, Paul, take a little time there to explain to us, how did you know? Was it that still small voice? Was it, how did you know? We know how he knew to go to Macedonia because he said, but as he slept, he had a dream from a man from Macedonia. So at least that way we know that way that God spoke to him. But when it doesn't tell you the details about how they knew the Holy Spirit spoke, how did he say it? Did someone speak up and say, here's what the Holy Spirit is saying? We don't know. And most of the time it doesn't explain it because it's assumed that everyone reading this knows that the Holy Spirit speaks and knows his voice. So it's not something like the Bible never explains or defends the existence of God. It's assumed God is. That's why it starts with, in the beginning, God. So when Paul or Luke, who's writing this, doesn't take a moment to, you know, a little parenthesis, this is how they knew God was speaking, it doesn't say that because it's assuming that, yeah, but everybody knows how to hear God's voice. You guys will know this. So that's a challenge for us. God, the Holy Spirit speaks, and we know how many times have we already quoted the verse, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying, right? He is speaking. And the last point about who the Holy Spirit is and what he does, he intercedes and prays for us. He intercedes and prays. So this, again, is crucial to praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. He intercedes and praise. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. And this is a study that we could really unpack the entire chapter of Romans chapter 8. Because in Romans chapter 8, it's all talking about the empowering of the Holy Spirit in the Christian life. If you know Romans chapter 7, Romans chapter 7, Paul is talking about the struggles in the flesh. And that's where he says that verse. You've probably heard it. The verse is where he says, what a wretched man I am. You know, he says, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I keep doing, right? He's talking about the struggle. And we know those verses. If you've ever heard it, you've probably remembered them because you can identify with Paul like, oh man, that's me, Paul. I totally get it. Always seems like I'm not doing what I should do. But in chapter 8, he's referring to the Holy Spirit again and again and again. So chapter 7 is my weakness, but chapter 8 is the Holy Spirit's power. And in that chapter, there's a verse in chapter 8, verse 26, that says this: in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Remember we talked about desperation? So even the Spirit isn't just praying words, but there's emotion, there's passion with wordless groans. So Paul is saying sometimes we don't know how to even pray, but the Holy Spirit does. He knows what to pray. And look at the next verse. Hebrews chapter 7 says this, "Therefore he is able," referring to Jesus, "to completely save those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them." This is referring to Jesus. So, Jesus now, it says, lives to intercede for those who believe in him, which means he is at the right hand of the Father praying for us. He's praying for you. He is interceding to the Father, and it says the Holy Spirit intercedes. Now, we already know from what Jesus told us in John 14 and 16, the Holy Spirit does nothing on his own prerogative. He does only what he sees the Father doing, and he says only what he hears the Father and the Son saying. So here, point number two is what it means to pray in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is praying in agreement with what the Spirit is praying. Praying in the Spirit is praying in agreement with what the Spirit is praying. Now, sometimes people say that praying in the Spirit means praying in tongues. That's one of the interpretations of that verse, to pray in the Spirit. But that's not what I believe that it means. Because to pray in the Spirit is more, because Paul even says when you're praying in tongues, you don't even know yourself what you're praying for, what you're saying. But the Holy Spirit is praying. Jesus is praying for you, and the Holy Spirit is praying in agreement with what the Father is praying. So here's what it means to pray in the Spirit. To pray in agreement with what he is saying is this. If I'm praying to the Father through the Son, and I'm saying, Lord, I want you to do A, B, and C in my life. Please, God, here's my A, B, and C. These are my prayer requests. I want A, I want B, and I want C. And I can really want it bad. I can be passionate about it. But the Holy Spirit is listening to Jesus, and Jesus is over here at the right hand of the Father praying for me, and he's praying X, Y, and Z. And I'm actually praying against what Jesus wants to do in my life. But if instead of coming to God and saying, God, I want A, B, and C, instead if I come to God and I say, Lord, this is what I want, but I follow Jesus' example and say, but not my will. Your will be done. Holy Spirit, speak to me, reveal to me, guide me, and reveal to me what it is that Jesus wants to do in my life. And then when the Holy Spirit reveals to me X, Y, and Z, then I put A, B, and C aside, and I start to go after A, B, X, Y, and Z. It's that understanding that as soon as now I know, it's like Simeon in Luke was the older gentleman, it says, by the Holy Spirit, it was revealed to him that he would not die before he had seen and laid eyes on the Messiah. And then led by the Holy Spirit, he went into the courtyard that day, and he saw Mary and Joseph as they brought Jesus in on the eighth day to have him circumcised. Well, when the Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon that that word, then he held on to it. It's like Daniel. When Daniel heard that God was going to restore Israel within 70 years of captivity in Babylon, then he prayed for that. He went after it because he knew. God promised 70 years, so he prayed with confidence. When Paul had the vision of the man from Macedonia saying, come and help us, he went with every ounce of energy and conviction because he knew where God was calling him. It wasn't a shot in the dark. It wasn't us praying, you know, we're gonna do warfare and battle through prayer for the city. Well, okay, well, Lord, let's just start going after everything. Let's just battle against everything. No, it's okay, Lord, reveal to us the strongholds. And reveal to us the stronghold we need to attack first. And then the Holy Spirit speaks. And then he confirms to us, this is the one I want you to go after first. Then we go after it. So, praying in the Spirit, right? That's who the Spirit is. He leads us and guides us in all truth. He speaks to us, so we need to be praying in agreement with what he is praying. Now, how does the Holy Spirit speak? Right? Point number three, how does he speak? And I'm going to go through a few points here all at once and then look at some, go into them a little bit deeper. And this is a point that might be a little bit challenging. Some of you guys might listen to this and think, this is what I've been thinking, but I wasn't sure if I could say it. The first thing is God speaks through the Bible. Now, that's not going to challenge anybody. We all would agree with that. Actually, if I didn't say that, I think you guys would really have a reason to question. Like, wait a minute, we got to go. God never or does not contradict his word. He will not speak to you and give you a word in your prayer time that contradicts the word of God. So the word of God is the first way you confirm if it is God. If it doesn't match with scripture, if it goes against scripture, it's not God. All right? Not God. So that's the first way. The second way that God speaks to us, and this is the most common, is through impressions in your heart marked by peace and assurance. So when we talk about that still small voice, that's what I mean here. Impressions in your heart marked by peace and assurance. That it's kind of like falling in love. If your kids have ever asked you, well, how will I know, right? Or if you've worked with youth and the teenagers, you know, they get to that age where they're like, how will I know if I'm in love, if it's real? And an answer we give as adults a lot, and it's not a cop-out, I think it's a legitimate answer, is, well, when I don't know how to tell you, but when it happens, you'll know. Right? There's something about love where you're like, I can't explain it. It's like eating cheesecake. Until you taste it, I can't tell you what it tastes. I can try to describe it, but until you have that in your mouth, you're not going to know what it's like. Same thing. It's like, that's how falling in love is. That's how hearing the voice of God is. I can tell you all of this, but until that God's voice speaks to your heart, and that's why it's marked by peace and assurance, because when you're not sure what to do, and you're arguing with yourself, you're debating with God, and you're like, God, you're coming up with all the alternatives and solutions that you could do, and then all of a sudden God speaks. When God speaks, all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay then. And the argument in your heart is over. If you think God has spoken to you, but you're still wrestling and arguing with it, it most likely he has not. Or he has, and you are just ignoring him. But when he speaks, the argument, the discussion, the debate, the confusion is over. And there's this, it's literally or figuratively like being on the sea with the disciples in the waves and the wind, and then all of a sudden Jesus says, peace be still, and everything instantly calms down. That's kind of what it's like. In your soul, there's a turmoil, and then you're like, and then God speaks, whew, okay, that's it. That's one way that I've learned to know. The third way that God speaks is an audible voice. Now, this is not that common, but the Bible, when he called Moses, Moses comes near the burning bush, and what does he hear? His name, Moses, Moses. Right? So God does that. So what I'm trying to say with this, again, is not to limit the Holy Spirit. I believe that at times we don't see God do many of these because we have pretty much in our hearts and our said he doesn't do that anymore. But remember, in the Alliance, we believe in all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We believe in divine healing, that God can miraculously heal and remove tumors and heal us from cancer and nothing is impossible for God. So let's not limit the way the Holy Spirit speaks, because God is creative and he spoke to Moses through a burning bush, but he only did it once. Right? Moses never went back to the burning bush. So God spoke to him through different ways. The other ways that God speaks is through dreams and visions. And we've heard about that from the testimony of the team that went to the Middle East. Dreams and visions. In Acts chapter 2, verse 17, he says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on your sons and your daughters, and they will prophesy, they will see visions, they will have dreams. Right? So he speaks through dreams and visions. And particularly to those who don't know him in forms of dreams, like we heard about today. Like Pharaoh, he had a dream from God. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream from God. But also in Acts chapter 10, it tells us the story of a man named Cornelius. And Cornelius is praying. So let's look at that verse. Cornelius prays and he says, he's a godly man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all of his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. And one day, about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. And then the story goes on. So here this man is praying, and he has a vision in his prayer time, and an angel approaches him. Daniel saw, all God speaks through these different ways and methods. And he speaks through angels, as we just saw in that passage in Acts. And I want to give you another example from Jeremiah. Jeremiah is a young prophet. We think he might have been 8 years old, as young as 8 when God called him. And I love this, these verses when God calls him in chapter 1, verse 11 through 14. Because it gives us a little bit of an insight into what it's like to hear God's voice. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? Now, what do you hear? What do you see? And Jeremiah says, I see the branch of an almond tree. I replied, the Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. The word of the Lord came to me a second time. What do you see? I see a pot that is boiling, I answered. It's tilting towards the north, the Lord said to me, and he explains to him. But what I love about it, it's almost like you got this young guy, he's 8, 9, 10 years old. God is calling him, and God is beginning to teach him how to hear and receive how the Holy Spirit is going to speak to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah apparently would see, he would see images and figurative images. Remember, God is creative, and some of you are creative. Some of you, you're constant. God speaks to you this way. But if you're like me, you've probably gotten to the point where you're praying and you're asking God for something. You're asking, you're praying, and this thought comes into your mind, and you just think you're daydreaming. And you're like, oh, God, help me. I got to focus. I got to focus on prayer. I got to get these thoughts out of my head. But what if we just simply first said, okay, Lord, I'm praying. I keep getting this thought. Am I just daydreaming, or is this something that you want to say to me? So let's go into the next point here, the last point. Steps we can take. How do we do this? Number one, develop a listening ear. Develop a listening ear. You know the best example for this is the prophet Samuel, where Eli tells him, next time you hear your name being called, say this, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Right? Have a listening ear. It's kind of like when you're sitting in a booth in a restaurant, right, and you're talking to someone, but the people behind you have this really interesting conversation going on, and you're like, oh my goodness, this is juicy over here. I got to hear this. So you're listening to two conversations at the same time, right? It's not easy to do, but we can do that at times. That's what I mean. It's you're talking to God, but at the same time you have your ear open. The ears of your heart open so that at any moment while you're praying, Jesus can interrupt you. He can interject. You have a listening ear. And it goes back to time. Guys, time is so important. Before caller ID, how many of you guys remember when there was no caller ID and you didn't know who was calling until you answered it, right? And back then, when there was no caller ID, I would call my mom or dad or a friend, and I never started with, hi, this is Tony, right? As soon as my dad would answer, I'd be like, hey, Poppy, you know, and he knew it was me. Why? Because he recognized my voice, because we spoke so often. If I call you for the first time on the phone, and I've never called you before, I'm going to say, this is Tony. This is Pastor Tony. You're like, oh, hey, Pat. Because if I just started talking, have you ever had those conversations where you don't recognize the number, they call you, and you're like 30 seconds into it, and you're trying to figure out, who is this? And if you can't recognize the voice, you're like, I'm sorry, who is this? And you're like, oh, right? Because you're not used to talking to them on the phone. That's what it's like hearing God's voice. The more you spend time with Jesus, the more his voice becomes familiar to you. So it comes back to time. Always submit and confirm everything by Scripture. And submit and confirm through trusted voices in the church. So real quickly. Confirm everything through Scripture and through people in the church. There was a man who came to our church in Atlanta. And real quickly, he was there for a few weeks, and every Sunday he was like telling people that he had a word from the Lord for them. Now, I believe that God speaks to people, but I didn't know this gentleman. So I took him out to Starbucks. We had some coffee. We talked for about an hour, and I said, I believe that God speaks to us, and he may be speaking to you, but I don't know if he is because I don't know you. And my job as pastor is to protect the flock, to protect the church from false teachers. So until I know that you are truly hearing from God, I'm going to ask you not to come to church and tell people that you have a word from the Lord for them, right? But there were people in the church, elders in the church, ladies and intercessors in the church, who I knew that when they came to me and said, this is what I hear the Lord saying, from our time praying together, from our time in ministry together, I knew to trust what that person was saying. Or if I had a word from the Lord, I thought God was telling me something, then I would go and test it. And I would say to the elders, I would say to leaders, this is what I believe the Lord is leading and putting on my heart. Will you confirm it? And then see, so even myself, you confirm and test everything with those in the church. And then the last two, this is just a simple prayer you can pray. Submit to God in prayer. And when praying for someone, say, so, submit it to God. It's just simple. And I found that God answers this prayer. You're praying and something comes into your mind or you have a thought. Just say, Lord, I keep getting an image in my head. Is this from you? And if it is, will you tell me what it means? And I'm telling you, if it's from him, he will answer that prayer just like he did to Jeremiah. And he will tell you what it is that he's wanting to reveal to you. And if it's not from him, it's just a random thought interrupting your prayer, it will go away. And then when praying for someone, same thing. We are not saying, you will not hear me say, and I don't want you to say, you know, like the prophets in the Old Testament, hear ye, right? Or hear the, no, that's not what we're talking about. But we believe God speaks. So you'll hear me when I'm praying for someone or I'm praying for you. You'll notice that I will pause before I start to speak because I'm saying, Lord, I'm listening. And before I just start to pray something, I want you to speak to me and speak through me. And then I'll pray. And just like we read earlier, sometimes I will say something that is the Holy Spirit for that person, but I won't even have a clue. But then there are times that I'm praying, and in the middle of my prayer, I just get revelation from God, a word from the Lord. And then this is what I'll say. I'll say something like this. Lord, I think what I hear you saying is that this is what you want to do, or this is what you're wanting to do in their life. And if that's from you, Lord, then I pray for that. And then when I finish praying, I'll ask, did that make sense? Was that the Lord? I just want to know if that was right. So in other words, you're submitting and you're talking and you're praying through it with them. So as we go with this lesson, there is a lot here in your notes for you to go deeper with this week and begin to ask the Lord, Lord, speak. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Right? Jesus is telling us, those who have ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying. I think it would be good for us this week to begin to pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants, your church is listening. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we want to pray that now. Will you just, if you can, will you stand with me? As we pray, Lord, we surrender our lives to you. And we know there's a lot of craziness out there when it comes to the Holy Spirit. But sometimes that the desire or the precaution to not be crazy can almost cause us to be fearful. And Lord, you are speaking. Your presence is here. You long to reveal your will to your church. So we here just simply say, speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. And for those who hear God through that impression and peace and assurance, Father, will you magnify that? Will you increase that? That the strength, the sense of peace and assurance when you speak, the familiarity with your voice. And for those like Jeremiah that you would want to speak to through creative images, because you've made them to be artists and creative, that they know that they have a place here to express that and to know that that is a way that you speak to them. For those, Lord, that you speak to through the word, through knowledge, through an understanding of the scriptures, Father, release that. Release it in the church. And Lord, we want all of this because we want to be able to pray X, Y, and Z. If we've been praying A, B, and C, Lord, we surrender that to you and we say, Holy Spirit, speak to us so that we will be able to know the X, Y, and Z prayer. What is it that is on the heart of Jesus for Syracuse Alliance Church so we can pray that? Amen. Yes, Lord. Normally we would end with a song, but it is 12:10 and I want to be respectful of the time. But I hope that you are encouraged. And we will sing as we are dismissed. We can still sing, and those who want to sing can sing, and the others can see their way out. But I hope you are encouraged that God is moving, and be praying for God to continue to move this week in the girls' basketball camp. Thank you to you guys that helped this week. It was powerful to have you there. And let's hear from the Lord this week. Amen? And remember to come early next week, right, to get your seat before we fill up. The Lord bless you. Have a great week.